This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a Tuesday. Had the day off yesterday, company holiday. We didn't have any say in it, right? It was directed at us. We had to take the day off. I enjoyed it.
Could we have shown up and done a show? Would like we have been stopped at the door?
No, yeah, not allowed.
Not allowed.
Not allowed. Okay. Yeah, they said can't. unfortunately, you could work, but
it's insurance.
Yeah,
some sort of insurance liability or something.
There was something. Listen, totally. Had we signed Roki Sasaki on Sunday, we would have been here yesterday, just so you know. But listen, I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Thank you to J.J. Cooper. He was fantastic. I thought I had heard that story about him losing his grandfather. It brought it back to my memory, and I wanted to do a little more research.
It was that earthquake with the huge tsunami that wiped out, just devastated the whole province there in Japan. And yeah, he lost multiple members of his family earthquake.
So sad, man. So yeah, he's obviously pitching for more than you know, baseball, I guess. That's a really, really sad story. But Adam does say in the chat, we could have worked and banked a day off to use later. Now, we have unlimited vacation here.
I don't believe Adam or anybody when they say that.
I don't believe any of... It's hard for us to trust management here because we often see the email. Like, there was one that came out and it said, if you guys, not you guys in particular, but we here at Odyssey, you will be given 2 hours off of work to go vote. Now, I went and voted in the old school fashion. I never got my mail-in ballot. So I went and voted old school. I went to the polling place. I'd never done it before. It was actually quite thrilling. And I did it the old school way. And I just went after work. Now, at 8 that morning, I guess by law and by the email, I could have said, guys, I love you, but I'm going to go do my civic duty. And I would have just bounced at 8. And you guys would have, where are you going? Well, I'm... So
we get it all the time. Let's say the 4th of July is
early.
On a Thursday.
Yeah, we're going to shut the office down early today. We don't do that.
You get the email from the big boss.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody that's in the office.
Shutting it down at noon.
We're closing at noon, so you can get a jump start on your holiday weekend. And if you can't take off at noon, coordinate with your boss for another time to end your day halfway through.
So by that logic, we've banked about 6 weeks of vacation.
Yes.
So
half day at a time.
Every holiday for the last six years.
Literally,
every time that email comes in,
I tell you guys, I go, let's call their bluff.
Let's call their bluff one time. That's
fine.
It.
Wednesday, we're off at 8 o'clock.
We're done.
Figure it out. We're taking you up on your offer, Adam.
We're gonna done. We're done. So Adam says we could have banked that day. I'd like to see my bank account of vacation. I'd like to see it at some point. I don't think it's available. It's one of those things at work where they're like, just trust us. It's here. We know what it is, but we can't tell you what it is per se. We had a great show on Friday.
Yeah.
The last hour of our show, Ben and Woods, was such a delight. And I left here on such a high and I went home. And was playing ball in the street with Bo and my neighbor Ron, who's a huge tier one, the biggest man. Ron comes out and he just stops in his front yard. He sees me out throwing with Bo and he gives me one of these and just starts clapping. And I looked at him and I laughed. I said, "What's up?" He goes, "I just finished your 9 o'clock hour. I am absolutely crying. Ben singing Papa Roach was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort."
It was so good.
Unbelievable.
And that was one of those things that you couldn't have scripted because we didn't know Papa Roach was going to be playing at Petco Park and Gallagher Square and all that. And I just popped in my head. I said, I don't know if Ben knows Papa Roach very well. It'd be nice to hear you sing it. Are you ready to sing some more today?
I am, if you want me to. I don't know how I'm going to do this.
Well, I gave you the words.
Yeah, I have the words.
And
I don't have a tune, though.
Well, we got a tune for you, too. We had talked about earlier in Take on Woods, you know, all the great Bond themes. And there's not a real good one for the movie Octopussy. So I had ChatGPT write up lyrics. It took all of 3 seconds. That's all they had to do.
How do songwriters even get paid anymore?
I don't know. It was that easy. So here is what it would sound like if there was a theme song to Octopussy.
Yeah. In the shadows of the night, she moves so swift. A deadly beauty with a secret gift. With a heart of steel and a velvet touch. She'll take you deeper, she'll never say too much. She's the mistress of disguise with octopus eyes. You can't escape her grip, no place to hide. Her allure, her lies, she'll mesmerize. Chorus. Octopussy, the world's at her feet. She's got the power and the mystery. In the ocean or the night sky high, she's the one no one can deny.
Can I do a producer's drop in real quick?
Please do.
You really were singing it earlier.
I know. It wasn't
working. You started going into talking.
I'm more
of a
talker.
Get back to the vocals.
You're more Sam Hunt right now.
Yeah.
We need less.
We need you to sing it.
Octopussy, you won't know what's real.
Now we're talking.
Chasing shadows,
yep.
Turning the wheel.
That's it.
Undercover behind every lie. She's the woman who can make you die.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
A twist, a fate, a deadly game. A bond in trouble, but she's not the same. She's got a plan, a dangerous mind. She's the perfect partner or a trap you'll find. In the world of diamonds and disguise with octopus eyes. She'll take you down, then make you rise. No one can match her. She's your prize. Octopussy, the world's at her feet. She's got the power and the mystery. In the ocean or the night sky high, she's the one no one can deny. Octopussy, you won't know what's real. Chasing shadows, turning the wheel. Undercover behind every lie. She's the woman who can make you die.
Unbelievable. You're absolutely welcome. Incredible.
Wow.
It's very Sinatra. I get Sinatra vibes.
That's all I can really.
Tony Bennett. A little bit.
Tony Bennett. You mean the basketball coach?
Benny Tonit. It's really good. It's really good. That may be your karaoke wheelhouse.
Go to now?
You just wheelhouse, like that type of song. Kind of.
I brought my own Chat GPT song to the karaoke night tonight.
You guys mind just running this for me? That was fantastic. Well, and now they have a theme song for that brilliant film. I loved it. Yeah, the Vanilla Crooner. It's great. Knocked it out of the park.
It's tough when you don't really have a tune to follow.
No, but it's
just making it up as you go.
Kind of
I mean,
jazzy.
I have the lyrics.
Yeah, yeah, kind of jazzy.
But I didn't really have a tune.
Squirrely says, Kelly Danick going to report a dozen crashes after this. No, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed it very much. Kind of hard to rebound from it.
So, Aztec football.
Lost again, yeah?
They did. They lost to New Mexico. The field looked horrible.
It did.
They actually, we can't quite see it from here. We're very close to Snapdragon Stadium. Apparently, as soon as the game ended, they just tore up the turf and put in new grass. Finally, they were able to fix the field as it...
So it's fixed.
It should be fixed. By the time there's another game, which isn't for another couple of weeks, when the Aztecs come home for their home finale... They'll be on a brand new turf for the Holiday Bowl. Will be brand new turf. Should be hopefully back in shape.
No more wave games.
No more wave games.
SDFC doesn't start until
March.
March. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Got some
so
time.
Hopefully the
Holiday Bowl's at Petco again.
Hopefully it was just it's back at Snapdragon.
Oh, it's
now.
A Snap. Yeah,
okay. It's back at Snapdragon. So or it's at Snapdragon now. And they have a new turf field, which is now settling in.
Nice.
And hopefully by the next couple of weeks, we'll look and perform as it should.
Good.
And this was just a one-off, just a bad field that got put in. And when they put in a bad field, there's not much you can do about it.
Bad batch.
Yeah.
I had a buddy go to the game on Friday night with his son. He texted me, and he goes, he had a list of...
Gripes.
He goes, I don't understand. I cannot fathom... how somebody would go there a second time right now. He said the food options were okay.
Ooh.
There wasn't a whole lot to do.
What do you mean there's not a whole lot to do? You're there to watch a game.
You got a kid. You never know.
You mean low? Like
he's like I think he said his kid wanted ice cream. Couldn't find ice cream. A bowl, a cone, nothing.
Yeah.
Couldn't find ice cream. said the field looked horrendous.
He said there was sand kicking up. You know,
there was hardly anyone there.
12,745 turnstile, lowest attendance in Snapdragon Stadium history on Friday night.
And he said, and the product on the field was as bad as the field looked.
Now, Spencer said they've got CIF football there a week from Friday, so it should be...
Hopefully, two weeks of letting it settle in. Like, don't stay off the grass for 2 weeks.
Like
by
a
then
golf
it
course.
Should be, yeah, yeah. Should be good to go, hopefully, by the time they play the CIF football championship game.
Well, at least there's Aztecs basketball to look forward to tonight, Ben, against Occidental.
Yes. Unfortunately, had some bad news. According to the Union Tribune, Miles Byrd twisted his ankle in practice yesterday.
Beloved.
Now, they don't need Miles Byrd for this game.
No.
They really don't. I mean, their backup should be able to win this game. It's a Division III team. They're more looking ahead to Monday when Gonzaga comes to town.
You want to make sure Miles is 100% by that
game. So they'll be careful.
Don't really need him for this one. This should be an easy win. Doesn't even count in your metrics because it's not a Division I opponent.
Okay.
Just a chance to fill up VAS Arena and get some playing time for everybody.
Yeah, sharpen the skills.
Yeah, show what you learned in your first game, close win over UCSD. Play tonight, but really the focus will be on Monday. Gonzaga, which is now a top 10 team in the country. They actually got pushed by Arizona State. I was watching that game on Sunday to the wire. So maybe San Diego State got some good film on ways to attack Gonzaga when they come. But that's one everybody should be looking forward to in a few days. Today should be a win, either way against a Division III school. But they are definitely looking ahead to Monday.
Probably no line available tonight.
Probably not against a Division III team.
Set yours. We'll do our own.
Non-scholarship.
Set your line. 41.
I was
going to say 39.5.
39.5. All right. I'll take the Aztecs. You have to take Occidental.
All right. That's fine.
All right. Aztecs covered 39.
Try to win your $10 back from the
ten spot back
from the last one.
All right, let's go Aztecs. No Miles Byrd, so
maybe not. I don't know. I mean, we'll see how he feels and what they decide is best for the program.
What time's the game?
7 o'clock tonight, Channel 4.
Okay,
watch it on your view.
Oh, we can see our favorite commercials for
that's right.
Men's health, as it were. Steel
Morgan,
pills.
Morgan. It's just nothing Morgan, but Morgan. Like national.
Yeah.
Men's
steel pills. What are those for? Longevity.
Exactly.
Right. So we get to watch
steel
that.
Lasts a long time, is what they say.
Freak Nasty. He says, I'm driving with my 3-year-old daughter, and she's like, why are you laughing, Daddy? I had to tell her Ben singing Octopussy is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Knew it would be.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
Thank you, Freak Nasty. Does your 3-year-old daughter know that your online name is Freak Nasty 619? That's what I want to know.
All right.
Daddy, why do they call you Freak Nasty 619? Don't ask. Don't ask, don't tell.
All right, a couple other baseball moves went down over the weekend that did not involve your San Diego Padres. We can get you caught up on the early Hot Stove League moves and more coming up after a quick check of traffic. Back with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, we focused a bit on the Roki Sasaki upcoming sweepstakes because we feel like the Padres will be major players, and certainly they will go all out to try to land Roki Sasaki. We haven't talked as much about Juan Soto because I don't think anyone here imagines the Padres are trying to get Juan Soto back for the price tag of $600 to $700 million, but it does seem like they're moving along in an orderly fashion. Juan Soto has scheduled a number of visits with teams, including the New York Mets. I believe the New York Yankees, obviously, are still in it. I've seen a visit with the Toronto Blue Jays, I believe, that is on the books as well.
Toronto is going to get Shohei again. They're going to get all excited. Remember that guy, J.P. Morosi, tweeting that Shohei was en route to Toronto to sign his deal? And nope. Sure wasn't.
But, we've been told that there's no reason that Soto has to rush his deal. Scott Boras has traditionally been a guy that stretches the clock a little bit to try to squeeze every last dollar out of teams in contracts.
That's why we need Ben Boras in there to just get the deal closed.
But I will say, if Scott Boras learns any lessons at all, he does not want all of his clients waiting until the end of the offseason to sign. That did not work out well for him last year, and a lot of teams are going to have to wait on Juan Soto's decision before they can start handing money out to everybody else. So,
yeah, because if you want Juan Soto and you budgeted for Juan Soto and you don't get Juan Soto, or let's say you do get Juan Soto, talk about creating plan after plan. This is life with Soto. This is life without him. This is what we can do. This is what we can't do. You know, what is our pivot point if we don't, if Steve Cohen doesn't go out and get Juan Soto, does that mean Pete Alonso is more likely or less likely to go back? You know what I'm saying? So he really does kind of hold the keys.
It is why it must be tough to be an agent for multiple players, knowing that what one player does and signs affects another one of your clients.
And that's two examples of Scott Boras' clients there.
What if Juan Soto, if he wants to make every last dollar, and Scott Boras says, hey, I think the plan is to wait until spring training, and, we're going to wait and push every last dollar. But then he says to the other clients, well, I'd like to sign now, but we can't really do anything until Juan Soto signs. We'll have him sign. Well, it's not really in his best interest to sign yet. Yeah, but they're not going to have any money left by the time we wait for me. Well, that's your problem. But it's not. You're agent as well.
Correct.
For other players.
Correct.
So how do you manage the best strategies for everybody?
I don't know how he's done it the last 20, 30 years or however long he's been in the game. I mean, that's something that he deals with on a year-by-year basis. And really only last year have we seen it not work out in his favor. And I think, owners are getting more, cheap, and owners are getting, I guess they would say, wiser to his strategies. But you look at Montgomery. I just saw a tweet that just came out, Jordan Montgomery. The Diamondbacks are looking to move his salary, and they're looking to move him as a player, and they're going to eat some of his salary. So he was a former Boras guy. They waited till the last minute. He had a terrible year. He didn't have a spring training, and on we go. Blake Snell has been in this limbo for the last couple of years. Pete Alonso still having Scott Boras as his agent has got to be a little bit tough, because Pete feels like I'm a marquee name. I'm a 40 home run a year hitter. And I got to sit and wait to decide what this guy does. And the team that I potentially leaving, they may want him, but they can't have both of us. I mean, what an S show.
It's the dilemma. You go with Bob Sugar's agency, or do you go out on your own with Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
He doesn't have the resources, but you are his only client. He's serving your needs 24/7. Or do you go with the power agency that has lots of different clients and has to divide their attention
now,
among
you,
them?
Yeah, you love me now, don't you, Jerry? Yes, very much. It's why Ben and I have the same agent, and we agree to the same salary, because this is how bad it could suck. What if we had separate agents? Can you imagine how terrible it would be? We would hate each other.
It would be awkward.
What'd you get? I'm not telling you. What did you get? No. How much did you get? Just say it.
I got this. Me too.
Totally. Yeah, it's just a nightmare. It's a nightmare scenario. Now, listen, not a nightmare, because everyone's going to get paid at some point. But you want to make sure you go to the right place for the right money and all of that. I don't know how the dude manages. I really don't.
Meanwhile, a couple other moves over the weekend. The Florida Marlins have hired a new manager, and it is the Dodgers' first base coach, Clayton McCullough, who gets the job. Not the most enviable job in Major League Baseball, but again, there's only 30 of them.
One of 30.
When you get an opportunity to become a Major League Baseball manager, the Marlins have decided, hey, we're going with the championship pedigree of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't know if that carries over to an organization that's not going to spend the way the Dodgers do, or have the resources or the talent or the minor league system and the scouting that the Dodgers do, that just hiring their first base coach brings you any of that Dodger, success, cachet. But that's the route the Marlins have went with their hire.
I think that's it's pretty standard. It's pretty standard. I think there are organizations where you look at and say, yes, we like the way that they're currently doing things. We would love some more of that culture, that methodology in here. Now will the Marlins give him the tools he needs to win? And I don't just mean players. I mean, hey man, this is what we do. We always hear about the Dodgers being on the forefront of technology and all that. Yeah, I mean, it makes their job a lot easier.
And let's not lie about it. The new Padre way The new culture is
it's the Cardinal way.
Suspiciously like the Cardinal way.
Very, very suspiciously like the Cardinal
way. I mean, they stealing it straight from the Cardinals, thanks to Mike Schilt. But, hey, if it worked for them, maybe it can work for you. The Marlins are going to say, hey, you know, it's working for the Dodgers. Hopefully he can implement some of that with the Marlins and see if it works for us. And that's okay. I mean, you know, you steal from people who are successful in sports. That is a common practice and one that is not going to stop anytime soon. So you poach talent, you poach coaches, you poach front office members.
I like this. The Cardinal way.
Yeah,
that's perfect. Thank you, Carlos. The Cardinal way.
Combine them both. Speaking of now some Padres going on and doing things, the Phillies promoted Preston Mattingly to general manager under Dave Dombrowski. Mattingly was a former Padres employee from 2017 to 2021 in the A.J. Preller administration.
Sharp dude, man.
Was always expected to go on to kind of bigger and better things. He was kind of a game planning coordinator and major league scout at the big league level for the Padres.
You guys remember, I never got a chance to talk to him. And his dad was one of my favorite baseball players ever.
Don Mattingly.
Don was one of my favorites. And I can vividly remember him out like working with infielders and outfielders, and remember going, God, who is that? And somebody in the front office was like, oh, that's Don Mattingly's kid. I was like, you're kidding. And they're like, don't get used to him. He's not going to be here long. But again, you know, he came up through us and through AJ Preller. So again, the arms and the tentacles, around baseball are far reaching from the San Diego Padres, Ben. So, yeah, good for him, man. That's a big, big gig and a big, big market. So it'd be interesting to see how he does it.
And then one player move yesterday, the Atlanta Braves acquired infielder Nick Allen from, not Oakland, the Ath. They acquired him from Ath. Was it just money? Cash considerations, I believe. Nick Allen, Francis Parker High School, so another local infielder.
There it is.
Tommy Edmund Light, I guess you could call Nick Allen, but he goes to the Atlanta Braves from the Ath in one of the first moves here of the offseason.
Sounds good. Saw a tweet come across my feed this morning. I have retweeted it. It's got me a little bit spun out.
Spicy.
It's spicy as all get out.
It's from someone that I've known for many years. It involves one of our favorite baseball players.
Yes.
And it involves the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, our favorite baseball team. So we'll read the spice for you next.
All right, that is coming up. Interesting. Coming up after a quick timeout with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, what an appropriate song. It's the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end of what, Woods?
I don't know.
You're very spun out by this tweet that you saw.
Yeah.
I don't feel the same way, but go ahead. Bring it up. I think it's a credible person, someone that I've known for many years. I think he's a tier one. Maybe he's listening right now. But read the tweet, and then we'll talk about it coming up in this segment.
Now?
Yeah, read it now.
JT Rogan tweeted this morning.
Former USD running back, coach at Michigan under Jim Harbaugh. Good San Diego dude. Has been on this radio station before.
Says, I talked to Blake Snell this morning, Snellzilla. He wants to pitch in San Diego, but Preller told him that they don't know if the Peter Seidler-less ownership group is committed to significant future spending. Time will tell.
It's a great day to be a Padre. Let's go.
I agree, Blake. Always a great day.
I've got thoughts on that. You've got some thoughts and questions about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we will discuss said thoughts and questions right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, I'm going to start with the assumption, and I think it's a fairly safe one, that JT Rogan is not lying and simply posting stuff on the internet that's not true.
For clout or something.
I believe that he talked to Blake Snell this morning.
I'd be interested to know the connection between those two guys.
I wouldn't be surprised that there's a connection in some way. So, talk to Blake Snell this morning. All right, that's the first sentence. I believe that. I will accept that as fact. Sentence number two. He wants to pitch in San Diego. I will also accept that as likely true and something that Blake would even be willing to express to people.
My people.
Had a good time here in San Diego. Has never closed the door on wanting to return to the Padres. Pitched well here. Won a Cy Young Award here. Why wouldn't he want to pitch in San Diego? Why wouldn't anybody want to pitch in San Diego?
Our buddy Will Holder says they're both in Seattle, so that does make a lot of sense.
There you go. There's the, well, you may have just ran into him at Pike's Place Market. They're catching fish at the market right now this morning together.
Maybe one of those topless coffee bars up there.
That's Portland, I think.
Oh, I thought it was...
They're in Seattle, too?
See, there you go.
They just have real coffee bars as well.
I've heard.
Why would you go to a real one when you could go to a topless one?
All right, so Blake Snell wants
Starbucks.
Blake Snell wants to pitch in San Diego. I will accept that as true as well.
Okay.
All right, now part three. But A.J. Preller told him they don't know if the Peter Seidlerless ownership group is committed to significant future spending.
So that could be a convo between Blake and AJ. Hey, great season. Did a lot of great things. If you're interested, I'm interested. I think that's above board. You can do that, I would imagine.
He's a free agent now. You can talk to you can talk to him. You can talk to Scott Boras. You can do whatever you want at this point. All right. So this is the part that requires some interpretation. First of all, remember that any exchange between a general manager and a player is going to be fraught with, there's an undercurrent of tactics when it comes to negotiating. Perhaps A.J. Preller is interested. Perhaps A.J. Preller is not interested in Blake Snell. Only A.J. Preller could tell you for sure. But you don't want to burn any bridges either. So you're going to come up with a fairly neutral response. I mean, you're not going to go, yeah, we want to sign you for big-time money, and I just need to, you know, convince ownership that we're going to do that.
Just get the rubber stamp, and we're good.
So you're not going to say that, and you're probably also not going to say, yeah, Blake, it was a good run while you were here, but hey, we don't really have any interest in signing you. You're not going to say that either. So you're going to leave the door open and cracked in some way for potential future negotiations without overly committing or tipping your hand to Blake Snell, who obviously is going to report anything you say back to Blake, you know, back to Scott Boras, his agent.
Sure.
They're going to have, you know, tete-a-tetes and, you know, conferences as they're trying to maximize his value and decide where he's going to pitch in the offseason. So remember, that statement, that part of the tweet by JT Rogan, does have a strategic element to it and has a lot of context that goes along with it. Now, there's also, let's take it at face value. A.J. Preller says he doesn't know if the ownership group is committed to significant future spending. What's the definition of significant future spending?
Blake
Are they
Snell.
Already doing it? Is it more than what they're doing? Is it less than what they're doing? There's a lot of...
Unless they trade Manny, Fernando, and Xander, they're already committed to future
spending. That's a good point.
Correct.
They are already paying and will continue to make significant future investments in the roster, no matter what.
How committed are they to additional future spending?
Correct, yeah. Future spending, like, that's not committed yet. Correct.
There's also a bunch of unknown factors. Where does the television revenue go from here? Are they going to sign a new deal? Will Major League Baseball have a new deal that will increase their TV revenues that could make even more additional future spending more palatable to the San Diego Padres? What does the business model look like? Woods, we were talking off the air, and you said, hey, they are selling out Petco Park almost every night, and they should reward the fan base with, you know, as much spending as they can to try to win a world championship. I tend to agree with you. At the same time, if I'm a business owner.
You're not. You're a fan.
No. But if I'm a business owner of anything and I'm going like, okay, I'm going to invest in my product because what? I want to obviously grow my business. I want to sell more of my product. So I'm going to invest in my own infrastructure. In baseball, that's players. Players are your infrastructure to invest in. So if the Padres invest more money, maybe they'll get more fans to come to Petco Park. Wait. We can't really get more fans to come to Petco Park. Well, maybe we can charge more for the fans that are coming to Petco Park. Do you want to do that? Do the Padres, is that
they
in there?
They're doing that.
And they're already doing that. Do you think that they want it? Do fans want them to start charging more? If they're going to, you know, sign more players and make significant future spending, would you like to see them increase ticket prices going forward to, you know, absorb that future spending? Or do you want to keep them, you know, ticket prices around where they are and not make a bunch of future spending? You know, that money is going to come from somewhere. And if it's not TV, you know, then it's probably from the fans at some point, because you can't really fill any more seats at Petco Park. You are almost maxed out on the number of tickets you can sell in your ballpark in a year. You've already set records the last 2 years. There's not much room for growth in terms of day-to-day attendance without increasing prices on things that are already, you know, pretty high, as most Padres fans will tell you. Tickets, concessions. There's a lot of fans who go, I don't know how much more I will be able to absorb if they ask me to pay more. So where is that money coming from for a future additional spending?
Great question. Not my problem. Not even a little bit.
Well, Tony says maybe they should charge more for radio rights, and then maybe it would be somewhat your
still
problem.
Not my problem. I don't negotiate that deal. That's not my problem. You know, I mean, it's
however you want to paint it. It's not Woods' problem.
No, exactly. The way that I look at it is, holy crap, we were really, really close last year. Really, really close. And you've never won one before. Get the first one. Get the one, and then you'll worry about the repercussions, the fall off, the rebuilds, the whatever you have to do. But you got to get that first one.
I do think winning a World Series, the Padres have already jumped from one or two echelons below in Major League Baseball to a new level of interest and respect around the league. But winning a title does take you to another level.
Indeed.
You know, look at what the Golden State Warriors did in basketball. They went from a pretty nothing team, you know, Bay Area, whatever, to a dynasty, to one that is now a premier team in basketball. They make a lot of money off of that, and the Padres could do the same. A couple of championships would go a long way toward extending that love and support for a very long time if you could actually win. So I think there is arguments to be made to spend on a guy like Blake Snell, who could be a real difference maker going forward.
I agree, and it's not, you know, again, it's not spend carelessly. It's not spend, you know, I think every team should spend above their means, though. I do. I do think that so much is pocketed by, and again, you know, you don't want to lump the Padres ownership group into the ownership group of the Cincinnati Reds or the Colorado Rockies, and you know,
we have that Miser index that shows the Padres are already spending,
they are,
you know, percentage wise much more than most teams in baseball.
Yeah, it's exactly right, and I think, you know, continuing on that trend would be great. There has to be a way to get a guy of Blake Snell's caliber and make it work for everybody. That's what I'm saying. As I'm not saying you have to go out and get Soto, you got to go get Corbin Burns, you got to go get Blake Snell. You have to do that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but, you know, a guy of Blake Snell's caliber, I think, to make it work, if he wants to be here, him working with Ruben,
both sides got to be creative.
Both sides got to be creative.
Flexible.
100%.
Nobody's asking for a major discount or anything like that. You just got to find a way to make it work.
You
got to
find a way. You know.
My God, you know, we've been spending all morning talking about Roky Sasaki, and Woods in particular has been cautious and not letting yourself go there because it's pretty much been written. He's already pencil him into the Dodgers rotation, but my God.
Yeah, imagine.
Can you imagine a rotation?
Him for $600,000 and Blake Snell.
You lose Musgrove. You had questions about your 4 and 5 spots anyways. You go out and get Blake Snell.
And Roky Sasaki. And your player.
Throw them into Yu Darvish. The Dylan Cease, Michael King, like,
you're
my God, that's a rotation.
You're a player,
right there.
Yeah, and Yu Darvish. So you'd have six,
come on,
you know, top flight starters, you're essentially,
player,
to throw it, which would be good. If you have Sasaki, he's probably going to be a once a week type pitcher to start. So you'd want to think about a 6-man rotation the way the Dodgers have thought about it with, you know, Yoshinobu going probably forward.
And I don't want to look at that comment and take it as, oh, we're not going to spend. But, I mean, all signs are pointing to basically everything we're hearing. And, you know, you'd have to put some faith and trust in the team that they're going to figure it out. Because it'd be hard, I think, after the vibes and the turnout and everything else last year to say, yeah, we're actually going to cut about 15 from and just see what we can do. Now, again, please remember, that team on opening day is going to look different than that team will on July, whatever the trade deadline is, because it always does. And it certainly did last year. What'd they say? About half the guys we started with, we finished, you know, with half of it being different. So that's also something to take into account.
Ultimately, the best way to win in baseball and in any other professional sport in this country is to spend, but smartly.
Yeah.
And be smart in all the other areas of the game that don't require a lot of spending. Be smart in scouting, be smart in drafting, and then be smart in spending. But you do have to spend. It's very hard to win by not spending.
Correct.
We've seen a couple of teams do it when everything goes right and they have a magical season. But by the way, those Kansas City Royals teams, not like they've had an unrelenting, you know, string of success. The only way really to do that is by spending and spending smartly. We've seen
and
teams
drafting well, getting Bobby Witt Jr.
We see teams spend a ton and don't have any success because they're not doing it smartly. You got to do both. You got to be smart about it, but you also have to spend. And the Padres have for the most part, they spent. They've done some of it smartly. Some of it we can question, some of the decisions that they've made of how they've allocated that money over the last few years. And ultimately, they haven't quite gotten where they want to go, which is win that World Series ring. They got to be a little smarter, or they got to spend a little more.
Yeah,
to get there.
A little of both, actually.
They're close.
Got to do a little bit,
but they
got
maybe a little more spending and a little bit smarter, and you can overcome the Dodgers and win that World Series.
Absolutely,
title.
Absolutely.
Is Blake Snell smart money going forward?
It's a good question.
That's another good question.
And again, if you look at Blake Snell, I mean, again, I'm so colored by what I saw in the playoffs, right, and what the Dodgers were able to do with an elite bullpen. And I mean, again, you go back to the Jack Flaherty start. Guy gives up five runs, he's done. Are they out of it? No, they're not out of it. They end up winning that game, winning the World Series. Starting pitching is massively, massively important. But then again, you look at it and you go, what's the longest somebody went in the playoffs? Like six innings, right? Like,
I mean, Darvish went what? Seven?
Darvish went seven. Yeah, man. I mean, it is important, certainly, and you want to have those horses because you got to get there. But man, having a few guys, a guy like Blake Snell could absolutely shut a team down three times in October and not even think twice about it, right? So he's one I look at and say, yeah, in October. Is he going to drive you nuts in May? Yeah, he is. Is he going to drive you nuts in June? Probably. Is he going to be lights out July, August, September, October? Yeah, probably. It's Blake Snell. That's what he does. So I don't know. I don't want to look at that statement as a blanket, we're not going to spend, but it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a question mark hanging over, you know, what is it going to look like in a few years with the San Diego Padres? But it would also be unfair of me to say that the Padres haven't done about all that I could expect them to do to this point, to try to win baseball games.
No question. And why stop now is kind of my point. Like, keep your foot on the gas, you know, just because you won 93 games last year. Great. Go win 95 and go out and advance around in the playoffs. You know, go win a pennant. You were this close.
And, you know, publicly, A.J. Preller and Eric Rupner have said, you know, winning, it remains an important priority of the organization. You know, they never attach a specific dollar figure to that. Which is just the way, you know, they operate on their
business.
The way
most teams do, yeah.
And the way most teams do it. But I don't see the Padres going back in time to where they were a decade ago. You know, one of the, you know, 27th in payroll and happy to get 20,000 fans at Petco Park and, you know, invite all the opposing fans to come in and make this your spot to come in. I don't see them going back.
One thing that they've done and has proven to be an effective strategy is if they have put some great players on this team. Some of them are still here, some of them are not. But when you put great players and you're an exciting team that people want to talk about, people want to come see you. They want to buy your merch. They want to be all about the San Diego Padres. So, you know, you're seeing it now with the Dodgers. I mean, and as good as they've been for as long as they've been, Ben, they're more Dodger fans now than there were 3 weeks ago. Right? That's just the way that it goes. You win a World Series and people start talking
about it. Are there a lot of, like, on-the-fence fans in San Diego that are just waiting, or have they won over most of those people already?
I think they've won over a majority of those.
That's the thing. Are there new fans to be cultivated for the Padres in San Diego?
Absolutely.
Or have they already, you know, earned the fandom of,
no,
of most
I,
of them.
I think there's still more.
Then what are they waiting for? Just a championship.
Got to get a championship.
Wow, that is the ultimate bandwagon. I will become a Padres fan the day they win a World Series.
It's true.
And not a second before.
It's true. I mean, when you're going after the kids, that's what the kids do. Go ask any kid what team they like. Who won the Super Bowl? They love the Celtics. They love the Chiefs. That's what happens. That's how you get the kids, man. You win rings.
Maybe a Padre needs to start going out with Taylor Swift if they can pry her away from Travis
Kelce.
No kidding.
Tony says, and I believe this, there are Dodger fans waiting to be Padres fans. That I absolutely believe in.
All right. Woods has got a spicy topic coming up on The Fan.